session number 26845, reel 2.
Mr. Bennett, reel 2. Now, I think the next stage is your call-up and how this was managed if you were in a reserved occupation status. How did you get called up? What was the background to it all?
Well, I went into Henley a couple occasions and into Manchester on another occasion to try and dodge, to see whether I could manage to get in the Navy. And my supervisor, my superintendent in the Rolls-Royce was very obstinate, and I probably did anything but anything other than strike him, I suppose, to get my way, unsuccessfully. But
you just didn't cooperate. You were a difficult worker. Yeah.
Well, I was quite accomplished in it. They could give me anything, and in actual fact, the work I was doing was generally the start up of an operation, the first one off, to see whether it could be done or how long it would take or whatever, and it would come my way to find out whether it was practical or whatever. So I wasn't, and the other thing was that the people who were trying to asked me to do things were the ones that didn't know anything about it.
These are the people you had contempt for and come in.
Yes.
So what did you do? What happened next?
Well, 3 weeks out from the last time I volunteered, I got my calling up papers and was quite elated.
Now, how did you get called up if you were reserved occupation? Do you see what I mean?
Well, they send you the papers, they call you up. You report to a certain place, which was in Malvern, on a certain date. And actually on this particular instance I had a very bad boil, or almost a carbuncle on my arm at the time. So that upset me too, because I was not able really to travel with it. I got a doctor's certificate and followed up 7 days afterwards.
Now, I still don't quite understand how you were called up when you were reserved occupation. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, but I don't know. It was because I was needed, I suppose. I don't know.
So they just moved on to you?
Yes.
Now, when was your call-up? Do you remember the month, roughly?
No, I haven't got my papers with me, but it was round about in September 41. I did preliminary training. It would be like August or September.
Yeah. So you went to Malvern.
Malvern.
Now, what was the establishment, the Royal Naval establishment at Malvern that you were...
Well, Malvern actually had been taken over a short time previously by the Navy. It was originally built to take the Royal Family on being evacuated from London. The intention was to evacuate the part of the government and Royal Family to Malvern, and they built this in a hell of a big hurry, and then decided not to go, and it was changed into a naval establishment.
Shore Station.
For training.
Do you know the name of it? It's normally got an HMS, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I haven't got my paper, have I?
You don't remember?
HMS. No, Malvern. It's a well-known establishment.
We'll look it up. Now, there are lists of these things, so we can check that out. Now, so what happened when you got there? Either late August, early September, one of them, you know, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I was late.
How did they take you in, you know?
Well, you just got... you went in civvies, and within 24 hours you were in naval uniform.
Now, tell me about the kit. What did they kit you out with?
Well, they kitted you out and right. I was on, the reason I had to go there, basically, was because I was registered as a semi-skilled polisher. Now, to go in as an ERA, or a tradesman, the normal procedure then would be for you to go in civvies to the naval base and pass a trade test. once you'd passed your trade test, then you were entered as an ERA or whatever other rate that came under. But with me being a semi-skilled polisher, it had to be a stoker. So I got my preliminary training, which was about 5 or 6 weeks as a stoker.
Now, so what were you kitted out with?
The typical sailor's uniform. Round hat, collar, very blue, and the normal sailor's uniform.
You don't remember the details of what you got?
Well, a lanyard and a bell bottoms. The normal kit that you would get as a stoker.
So, what about the accommodation you were in? Do you remember? What was it? Was it a barracks or a hut or what was it?
It's a barracks. They were more or less concrete huts.
What was each barrack? What was your barrack room like?
I would think there'd be about 20, 30 in a class. And they would be in one room.
What sort of beds?
Well, they were in
their hammocks.
No, they weren't hammocks. They were ordinary low beds that you would get.
Metal frames.
Metal frames, low to the floor. With just a side table with all your kit, and there'd be 20, 30 of you, and we'd all.
Not a locker then.
Yeah, you would get a locker, yes, just at the side of the bed.
I mean, it was probably didn't need it at that time of the year, but did it have heating, a stove or something in the...
Very sparse equipment, really. Very little hot water. In fact, we didn't have any hot water at times. It was non-existent, and it was a hell of a job shaving in cold water and things like this, and it was in winter. In the middle of winter, you know, so that when I was there was frost on the ground. I think when I was there, I don't think we'd had the ground was free of frost. It was a very bad winter.
So you were probably there more October than How long were you there for?
Just 6 weeks. And then we were...
Now, hang on. Can you tell us a bit about the training? What would a typical day's training be like? What subjects would you cover? What time would you get up?
Well, a lot of it was a marching.
How did you take to drill?
I didn't take too badly to the drill, but I wasn't very good with the rifle.
Well, I'll come to the rifle. So what was your problem? You had no problem with the drill?
No, I was pretty tall, skinny, fairly erect. So I didn't have a lot of trouble with that side of it.
Did you enjoy it or did you find it tedious?
I didn't enjoy it because of the particular conditions. It was a big change from home life to strict routine.
And did you understand the point of drill, or, you know, marching up and down?
Not really. I don't think anybody has a real understanding of the drill when they first go into it. I suppose it's for to make everyone on a level footing, which is what it's about. The other thing that impressed was I remember a great deal of was the number of times they had inoculation, blood samples, and one thing or another, teeth out. examinations, health examinations.
I mean, did you have
inoculation?
Did you have dental treatment?
Yes, I had quite a few teeth were drawn.
Pulled out,
yes.
Now, was there anything wrong with them?
Well, they said they were wrong, so I didn't know. There wouldn't be anything too bad with them for me, my point of view. No.
Had you had any pain or problems with them before they identified the problem?
Not a lot, no, not a lot of dental problems. I've had the odd one out kind of thing. But other than that, I didn't have a lot.
Was the dental treatment sympathetic? I mean, or was it pretty rough?
Not at all. It was pretty rough. For instance, you went to see the dentist, and you went in batches of 10 or 12, maybe, I don't know, 12, 10 or 12 maybe. And you'd go in order for examination. He'd have a look in and detail the technical points to an assistant who would make a plan on a map and whatever other signs there were. So you would come back another day, and when your name came up to go in again, well, he would have the information there to do the work. But the system was for the, when the work was being done, of course, was to, for you to go in, get your jab for the...
Oh, stop it hurting, yeah. Anaesthetic.
Anaesthetic, you get your jab for the anaesthetic and then go out while the next one got his. And when the last one had got his done, you'd be ready for yours to be done. But in the process, if the dentist was a bit late or delayed in any shape or form, by the time the last one goes in, all the anaesthetic would have worn off. So you did get that kind of thing, and I had a terrible state with him, really.
It hurt.
I can remember that particular day I had 5 teeth out. I had inoculation, vaccination, and one pint of blood drawn, or one ample of blood drawn off, all in one day. So by the time the day had gone, you know, I was... physical wreck.
Now, did the vaccinations and the inoculations, did they affect you? Because you know sometimes they do make you ill.
Yeah.
Did they affect you?
Well, I didn't feel too great after that, I can assure you, but...
Did your arm swell up, and you know, or stiffen?
Yes, it did. And you had a sore tooth, but you still had to go up the next morning and do whatever it was, whether it was a drill or whatever.
Now, you mentioned you weren't so good at rifle training. Were you trained on the rifle?
No. You see, I think I had to go in as a stoker. So the training was all for stokers. And the stokers are not well known for any upper deck drilling. So I don't think they concentrated on that side very much. So the efficiency was not required of stokers to... do the
so what drill. Training did you do while you were there? What was the stoker side of training?
It was physical exercise.
PT. Tell us about the PT training.
Running and a certain amount of schooling.
Keep to the PT. Was that all you did, running?
Running and, of course, the usual gym type. Yes.
That's,
it wasn't so much the modern-day gym. It was arms bent, knees bent.
Assault courses or?
Piggyback jumping and all this business kind of thing.
So that's it. No training with a shovel or anything like that?
Oh, no.
So what do you
mean? There was no training of that nature. I think that was intended to be done at... In barracks.
So what else did you have? You mentioned schooling. What in?
I can't really remember much about it.
Fair enough. Anything else you do remember about that training you had there?
Not a great deal. No.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads, the other stokers? Were they the same background and educational way as yourself, or what were they like? How did you get on them?
Well, there was a lot of varieties, of course. Tall ones, thin ones, thick ones. And... yes, it was a real mix. It was the earliest part of anything. The early part, you don't get really established with anyone until you've been with them for a while. And we were all mixed up and getting changed about quite a bit.
Was there any bullying within the group?
Not that I was aware of. I didn't come across much of it.
And you made no particular pals?
Not on that
then,
instance.
Then?
No, not in...
What about...
I don't think we got the time, really, to...
What about the instructors? What were they like?
They were fairly good. They were strict, of course, trying to get your lip into shape in a record time. Everything was rushed in those days. They had to get men ready and ready for combat, didn't they?
Were they too strict, or were they fair, you know...
Well, the particular ones I had were reasonably fair, it was only what you would expect.
And do you think they knew this stuff?
Well, yes. The POs that we had were reasonably good, yeah.
Did you have much contact with officers at that stage, or was that...?
No, you had very little to do with officers.
So what was the next day? You were there, probably not September, from the sound of what you say, a bit later.
A bit later.
From the winter thing, that's all. So more likely November, December, from the sound of things. So what happened next? You were there about 6 weeks.
Yes, and then we were all allocated a base that we would have to go to, report to.
Now, you hadn't done your trade test at Malvern?
No.
So you were still...
Made inquiries there, and they could do nothing whatsoever to interrupt the training. They couldn't do anything at all, but I was told to write a request form out as soon as I reached barracks. As soon as I reached my base, was to write a request out to do a trade test. Whatever I did was to do that as soon as possible.
Now, which base were you sent to?
I was sent to Drake, which is Devonport. Gus.
And where would that be?
Plymouth.
No, when, sorry.
Oh.
That would be about December, would it?
Yeah.
41, from the sounds.
Well, it would be, yes, November, December time. And
what happened when you got to Devonport?
Well, within a week, I got noticed to go and pass my trade test.
Now, tell me about the trade test. What did it consist of?
Well, I had to attend the trade test with all the other civilian people. There was probably a group of about eight. Probably a group of about 8 to 10 people. All of them were civvies except me, of course, and I had to attend in stoker's uniform. Rather unusual, I suppose, because to go in as an ERA, you would be in civvies. And for me to be there in the sailor's uniform was a bit unusual, I suppose. The chief petty officer was an old, very old established... ERA that had been brought back into the service, I think, really, for that purpose of doing the shore establishment work. That was to relieve other chiefs that could go into active service, I suppose. He didn't look too favourably at me with being in a very dark blue uniform with a very, very dark colour, which obviously only just come into the Navy. And was doing a trade test, so I didn't get a lot of favourable attention from him, really. If I had a problem, he was inclined to pass it off, make the best of it. I can remember in one instance, when I was doing some rivet work for the ash tray that was part of my test, I can remember telling him that the snap head rivet tool was too deep for the rivets that I was given, and it needed something taken off so that the rivet could be hammered or compressed in a proper manner. And he said, "You'll have to manage with what you've got." So I was left with very high possibilities of slack rivets in my trade piece. But I did very well.
So what else did you have to make? An ashtray? Was that it?
That was one. The other one was a funnel. I can't think what the other was. I had to make a hole in a plate for the funnel and shape a funnel. Funnel ring. And this ashtray. And it was something else. I can't remember what it was.
And this was... trade test as a plater?
Yes.
Not as a polisher or anything?
Oh, no,
like that.
No.
I mean,
well,
I can see it's not.
That's a semi-skilled work, of course. But I was quite pleased. I did very well. When the result came through, I had 82%, I think it was, which is what you call fairly high for that.
Now, what were you doing while you were at Drake Barracks? I mean, what was the routine like while you were
well,
there?
Well, I was just reporting for the trade test in the morning, so I don't know how many days it was, 3-4 days maybe. So I can't remember the number of days it took.
So what happened next?
And within a week, I'd got a draft ship to the Blakeney.
So your training was, in essence, cut off then?
Yeah.
And that was it?
Well, ERAs don't get any training at all. In barracks.
So you were qualified as what rank did you qualify at?
I would be a PO then. I would immediately become a petty officer, acting petty officer, of course.
And ERA stands for?
Engineering Artificer.
Now, we've just been having a look, and we think that you may have joined up in January 42, which pushes everything back a bit, because you seem to have joined the Blakeney, you think around about March. After she came back from Gibraltar.
H-Force. She came back from H-Force.
So we'll correct the dates mentally to that. Now, what were your first? Where did you join the Blakeney? What were your first impressions of her?
Well, I joined when she was been in Devonport a week before I got the draft ship to her. She was actually in Plymouth Dockyard, just a few days before I got my draft ship. But I joined her after a couple of days' journey from Plymouth all the way up to Thurso, and joined her in Scapa Flow.
And what were your first impression on joining the ship? I mean, could you describe, because she's not a well-known ship now, it's a Hunt-class destroyer, but if you could just give us an idea of what she was like.
Well, I was quite impressed, really. The mess was very small, not what I'd expected, really. I knew that there was very little room in a destroyer, but when I joined, I thought everything was on top of me. We had...
Can you describe the mess, Dick?
She was cluttered up with the gear, of course. There was very little deck space. It was a big surprise to me, of course. But fortunately, the mess made me very, very welcome.
So, to describe your mess then, the mess deck, where you lived.
The mess was just... it was just big enough to hold... to take 5 hammocks, and when you think that a hammock is 18 inches, 18 inches spacing, there was very little room, really. There was just enough room for 5 hammock spaces, and then, of course, the other was the length. The mess table would just take us and no more. We just had 5 lockers. The number of people in the mess that would normally be aboard ship would be 3 watch keepers, the chief ERA, chief tippy, and maybe 1 trainee. But on this occasion, there would be 3 watch keepers, the chief tippy, and 2 petty officers. There was one already there, so it was a bit cramped.
Now, what were the hammocks like? I mean, we've not talked about hammocks. What were they like to sleep in?
Once you'd got a couple of nights in them, they were quite comfortable. You adapted to them. It was your best friend, probably. Your hammock was your best friend in the Navy.
Did you have to lash them away every...
Yes, lash up and stow.
Where did how did you lash them away? How did you stow them away?
Well, you started by pulling your blanket and putting it in the bottom of the hammock. And any stretchers that you had on the lanyard, on the ties, that went in the bottom. And then you just got a rope. There's a piece of rope specially for that purpose you were issued with, and you started and lashed up about 7 or 8 turns, and when you'd finished it was supposed to go through a 5-inch circle.
And would it?
Not always. But they were stacked upright in a rack. All the cases were in a rack. Everything had to be stowed away. Very compact. Very compact indeed.
Now, you tell us who was on your mess deck. Now, how was the ERA, how was your routine organised? Do you know the engine room artificers between them? How did you sort out your duties? And what, and then, of course, what were those duties?
That's the duties were really in a 3-watch mess we had. Sometimes the other branches would be in 2 watches, which is one on and the other one off. But we were mainly in 3 watches.
And if what could you explain the watch system?
If we were at sea, then an ERA would be on watch for 4 hours, unless it was the dog watch, of course. So you had one watch of 4 hours, and then you would have 2 watches off. So that you always had one ERA down the engine room, and the others would have other duties unless they were at night time when they were sleeping. The chief ERA didn't have a watch.
Now, what would you do on watch? Tell us, what was a typical watch of 4 hours? Not the dog watch, of 4 hours. What would you do?
Well, you'd
be
in complete charge of the engine room. In this instance, aboard a destroyer of that size, the Hunt class destroyers were not the largest of destroyers. So an ERA would be in charge of the engine room completely, plus all the others, the boiler rooms, 2 boiler rooms, and a gearing room. He would be in sole charge of that particular watch, and also in charge of the port, not port, the starboard throttle.